I do. So I was reminded, actually by conversations we've had in the past, about how Cranston consistently receives a lot more money from the state than Warwick does. I believe generally year after year about $20 million more. So I decided to look into the current projections, which were published just about a month ago. And the state is set to give Cranston, in state aid, $60.6 million for this coming school year. Now, Cranston and Warwick, similar overall populations. Cranston has more students in the K-12 system, but not that much more. Not enough, in my opinion, to justify a $24 million difference in how much the state is giving us. Here we are debating a possible $8 million increase, and the state has us dealing with a $24 million difference. Warwick is projected to get $36.7 million, which, well, I think we can see the results, and we see what people are here for tonight, and we need to not lose sight of that this school funding formula that the state has imposed is severely underfunding Warwick. To dig into the numbers a little bit, the state overall is contributing $827.5 million to all 39 cities and towns through the individual school districts and the regional school districts for the public K-12 schools. Now, Warwick has 7.5% of the state's population. It has 6.3% of the K-12 student population. 6.3% of the K-12 student population, but only we're only getting 4.4% of that overall state funding. That's not our fair share. So I just want to put those numbers out there, something for all the folks in this room, all the folks tuning in at home to understand. And I think that this is something that we need to take this energy and we need to take that up to the State House and let the state of Rhode Island know that Warwick is going through some hard times. Our schools need more funding, and we have not been getting our share for many years. And these are the results. Thank you.
So as Bob Shapiro used to say, I think he gave the same speech many years ago. He was my principal and later the superintendent of schools. It's time that we stop subsidizing. This community has to subsidize the rest of the communities. You know, at one time we were classified as a wealthy community. I think it's fair to say that when we have to enter into a maximum tax increase just to partially fund schools, that's not a fair education formula, in my opinion. And sorry to take up so much of your time, Superintendent Thornton, but I just wanted to let everyone know at least how I feel, and I know a lot of my fellow council members feel the same way, and I'll retire over there to watch your presentation. Thank you.
Thank you. President Marola and members of the Warwick City Council, good evening. As we look at the school department budget request for 18-19, I do believe it is important to look at the historical context of this budget in relation to budgets from years past. With an increase of $3 million from the city this past year, the school department's total city support of $122,482,464 is $1.5 million less than city support from 2010. In 2010, the city contribution was $123,968,068. Looking at enrollment in 2010, we were at 9,750 students versus the 8,797 students we have today. Enrollment is part of any budget conversation, and I believe we have taken action with regard to the declining enrollment of 10%. The district has made efforts to control costs and reinvest in the district by closing 6 schools in the last 3 years alone and 9 schools since 2008. Most recently, as you know, Aldridge and Gorton and Veterans in 2016. And at the end of this year, as you know, Wicks, John Bon Francis, and Holden also close. These 6 recent closures have allowed for some savings. We've also been able to make some needed improvements, like the addition of 5 social workers, middle school sports, 1-to-1 computers for students grades 6 through 12, and most recently added AP courses. Some of you heard about our new courses. We have a biology course running this year, computer science, and next year macroeconomics, all on AP. Next year, we will see our grade 6 students move up to the middle schools here in Warwick. Students, for the first time, will receive science instruction every day of the week in grade 6, something we already see across Rhode Island, and now we'll see it in Warwick, too. Next year, we'll also see school nurse levels where they need to be, given the many medical situations in schools today, with 1 nurse at each school. Our school closings and reinvestment aside, many costs have continued to climb since 2010. Our biggest 3 cost drivers since 2010 are debt service, charter school payments, and pensions. Debt service from bonds have gone from 0 in 2010 to $1.7 million this past year. Charter school costs from $170,000 in 2010 to $1.3 million in 2018. And pension from $8.4 million in 2010 to $10.8 million in 2018. Now that's up $2.4 million, a 28% increase in pension. Now pension is really volatile when you consider the following salary costs for the same period. In 2010, our salary line was $92,480,000. Now in 2018, our salary is $89,964,000. So salary's going down $2.5 million, or 2.7%. But even with reduced costs and salary, the pension costs still trend upwards. Now looking at our historical numbers, back in 2010, we had 1,038 teachers. In 2018, we are at 900.7. That's down 13%. In the budget in front of you now, that number goes down another 46 positions to 854 teachers. The WISE Union had 439 members in 2010. In 2018, that is 383. That's down by 13% as well. In this budget, there's a reduction of 14 positions for a total of 369 WISE positions. In administration, the number was 63 back in 2010. That number is 59.5 in 2018. That's down by 6%. In this budget, there's a reduction of 2.5 down to 57.5%. So all totaled, there's a net reduction of 62.5 positions in this budget request for next year. Now, we mentioned the state funding formula. That 7-year funding formula increase, if you will, ended this past year. It was a ramp-up for work for 8 years, and essentially we received $800,000 every year for 8 years. These increases in state dollars went a long way in controlling some of the yearly increases like pension, debt service, charter school payments. In 2010, our state aid number was $31.2 million. This year, state aid is $39 million. Going into next year, unfortunately, state aid to Warwick goes down by $1.6 million. So, as you'll hear from Mr. Ferrucci in a minute, part of the budget ask is to make up for the shortfall in state aid. As many of you are aware, state aid is based on a complex funding formula, which includes demographics, school sizes, school populations, and towns' ability to pay. Now, you mentioned Cranston earlier, Mr. President. I would tell you, if you look at the Kids Count fact book, there are some facts in there that kind of show you how we're different a little bit from Cranston. If memory serves, Warwick is 79% white, non-Hispanic. Cranston's 54%. Another one in my head I know is ESL. We have around 100 students. They have over 500. So as you get more of those special populations, state aid goes up for those reasons. So in closing, my brief remarks, our ask from the city is $8.1 million for next year. The increase would bring city support to $130,627,677. This represents a 5.1 increase over the school budget in 2010, or about a 0.5% increase each year from 2010. So that's really the historical context for the budget. Now, Mr. Pucci, come up and give you some of the detail for the budget for this year for your consideration. Thank you.
Anthony Ferrucci, Finance Director for Walworth Public Schools. Mr. President, members of the City Council, school committee members, Mr. Superintendent, and fellow community members, good evening. I'm honored to be here tonight presenting my eighth school budget before you. Eight budgets. It's been quite the ride the past 7 years. As the superintendents mentioned, there's been many, many initiatives undertaken during that time. When I arrived, the community was very clear as to what they wanted from their school business leader. Transparent and detailed school budgets, more collaboration with the city as well as with the Cranston Public Schools. Something had to be done with labor contracts, as the sentiment was that over the years, management rights had been given away and sharing medical premium costs was not consistent with other districts. And something had to be done in response to declining enrollment. Even though there was a couple of elementary schools closed, the consensus seemed to be that more could be done. Looking back, all these expectations were reasonable and doable. But what I didn't realize at the time was how much transition and upheaval would take place before we could achieve these results. Over the past 7 years, we achieved the creation of the transparent and detailed budget documents. In fact, tonight's documents that we all have before us have 3 years of actual data showing so members of the public can perform their own trend analysis and compare what is being asked versus how it's been spent historically. The city, the school department, and Cranston Public Schools do participate in collaborative purchasing. One of the more productive initiatives is being involved with an organization called WB Health, where we are able to substantially reduce and manage our medical and dental costs. Our bargaining unit members have had significant changes incurred due to changes in the contracts. That's right. Our wise people, our teachers, they've come to the table. Over my 7 years here, what have I experienced? We've outsourced transportation to the detriment of our WISE union. WISE union took on 20% co-share of their medical premiums. There were a number of years when we had 0% pay raises during my tenure here. Our WTU teachers, they've recently added back a number of management rights. They've elevated their copay on medical and dental premiums. From when I first got here, it was $11 a paycheck. We are now effectively at 18% of premium costs for 2019. They've also provided a provision for allowing more layoffs upon school closing. That has significantly helped us manage our budgets. To their detriment, they came forward, they stepped up. They also experienced 0% pay raises. Addressing declining enrollment, I've joined March 2011. At that budget presentation, to tonight's budget presentation, there are 212 fewer FTEs in the budget that's being presented tonight. The community also had established facilities planning. Two public committees were prepared, as well as the hiring of an outside consultant that led to the preparation of a master plan that the district is following, which included both program and facilities. As the superintendent had mentioned, we closed the high school, we closed the middle school, we closed an administrative building, and in this budget we are closing three more elementary schools, which is in addition to schools that were closed prior to 2011 when I arrived here. While I knew meeting the community's expectation was going to be a challenge, what I did not anticipate was the level of transition and transformation that would in fact take place over that time. The first few years, budgeting was relatively simple, primarily due to the 20 cap limit on the teacher contract, the ease of which calculating salaries was take all the staff that are in the pool this year, increase the total cost, and then allocate $2 million reduction because we had 20 staff members that were going to get laid off some way, shape, or form. And at that time, there were plenty of staff positions. We were overstaffed, and everybody in the community knew it. Over the past 2 years, with the work with the WTU, it's become much more difficult. We put in student need cost selection and adjust to what the students' requirements are. You know through public communications that there have been numbers of staff that have been laid off in the past, and there's numbers of staff that are being laid off this within our proposed budget as it currently stands based on closing of schools. They came to the table, as difficult as it was, and have worked with us through this process. You know, I already mentioned my funder with regards to state funding. School Department absolutely concurs that up until this current year, there was a catch-up provision which helped provide additional funding. 2018 was the last year. You will see moments in a moment when I show the revenue that, in fact, we're taking a hit of $1.6 million. The odd piece that I cannot explain to you folks is this. The state has calculated that the city of Warwick has the ability to raise additional support for the schools. This current year, they're paying 40.5% of the formula calculated based on enrollment. Based on their statistics with regards to the taxability of property in this community and the economic median incomes of the community, they've determined that their contribution next year is going down to 38.5%. That's a 2% reduction because the state believes we can make that up somehow, which I find unfathomable. That number alone is a $700,000 reduction in revenue from the community. All of these issues that I've noted have budget implications, which mostly is reducing our budgeted costs. All the costs associated with these items have been folded into tonight's budget presentation. The one area that turned out to be the most surprising to me was the turnover of district leadership. Since I've been here, 4 superintendents, 3 fiscal controllers, 2 HR directors, 3 curriculum leaders, 3 secondary ed directors, 2 special ed directors, 2 elementary ed directors, 2 WISE Union presidents, and 2 WTU presidents. Are the team that I have worked with going through this very trying period that Warwick's faced. As a matter of fact, the only 3 people who remain in district leadership positions from when I started are Mrs. Furtado, Mrs. Medeiros, and Ms. Donato. They were on the school committee when I joined Warwick. With all the district's challenges and turnover, the leadership team led a transition in public education that is beyond comparison within the state of Rhode Island. No Rhode Island community has come close to what has been achieved here in Warwick over the last 7 years. As difficult as it's been, I think we need to take a moment and reflect on what has in fact been accomplished. Next year's budget would have been so much worse if it were not for the cumulative collective efforts to achieve what we believe is a fiscally responsible budget. We do acknowledge and understand completely the challenges that have been laid out before us this evening. We know we're in it together, and we need to work through it. But I just want to take a moment and say thank you to the 3 leaders that I've worked with the last 7 years. It's been a privilege and an honor to work with you. And thank you for your leadership, thank you for your tenacity, and thank you for your vision. Because there was many trying times, and you've carried it through to a point where we can have a good dialogue this evening. So thank you for your collective efforts. With that said, I'm actually going to be short-winded tonight. Surprise, surprise. In your package is the school committee's adopted budget. It's very detailed. We provided that to you early. I believe we've got it on our website. It was released on the 19th of April. The community's had access to it. We believe with all the cuts that we've embedded, we have now reached the bottom plateau of what it's going to take to run our schools. And so for the current year, 2018, we had a budget of $163 million. In January, we ended up adding $3 million that the City Council provided us additional funding in order to take care of the retro pays, et cetera, for the conclusion of a teacher contract. As of March 6, 2018, school department's budget was $166 million. At that time, I had been promoting what the economic impacts would be for the contracts. The WTU contract economic impact statement was $3.9 million. Contractually, this step increases for WTU, that number, $642,000. The WISE contract increased per the economic impact statement, $507,000, and the WISE contractual step increases, $109,000. If nothing else changed, we were anticipating a minimum $5.1 million increase. In addition to those known costs that we were struggling with as we led into the spring this year, there are additional costs that have been added to the budget. Transportation contractual is going up $240,000. Our out-of-district tuition increases are going up $620,000. We are adding additional debt service for the final portion of the debt that we've used to rehab veterans junior high school, middle school. I'm adding $175,000. During the consolidation process, we knew we needed to add transportation busing to carry the students to the other schools that would remain open. We were projecting $1 million. That number has come in at $900,000. That's included. We know we have project work to accommodate the changes. $406,000 is in the budget. $257,000 in professional development, the bulk of which is we are contractually prepared to have PD days in August and in March. In the last 2 years, March has not been well attended, but our average cost is about $150,000 per event day. We are fully funding, expecting everybody to participate in the March activity. Plus, there is some additional curriculum PD that's being proposed. Technology, hardware, and software, $378,000. Building improvements is a flashpoint for many of us. We've heard time and time again, we need maintenance in our buildings. For my first 6 years here, I put a budget where we put $50,000 in building improvements, and then whatever money was carried forward from the previous year, our first target would be to add it to building improvements and see what we could do. And most recently, it's been very aggressive, and we're spending close to $1 million a year on taking care of things that are happening at our buildings. The budget currently sustains that level of support. Medical increase, 2% on $16 million. To the superintendent's point, back in 2010, we were close to $18 million in medical. It's actually going down to $16 million. The reason, it's reflective of the staff reductions that have taken place. It just puts a big mirror, a big spotlight on how much pension is actually going up at the state level when you realize that our declining staffing should have had significant reductions. Medical is reflective of it. Pension was not. And again, pension is a 2% increase on $10 million is $200,000. And last but not least, the school committee added $670,000 to the superintendent's recommended budget based on initiatives they thought were absolutely imperative to the schools. The math interventions being the bulk of that. Superintendent was trying to work around, trying to come in with a budget below the $8 million mark, but clearly the need for math interventionists was something the superintendent's recommended budget was overruled and it was added in. By having those known cost expenditures, this evening we could have been coming before you with what I would project $175 million. The school committee's adopted recommended budget is $171. The $4.1 million represents what's being saved through the consolidation efforts that are undertaking. It's the driving force, as the superintendent had mentioned, on the staff FTE cuts that we are experiencing from last year to this year. Over 40-some-odd positions are being eliminated from last year to this year, and therein lies the cost savings. Next, please. So the school committee's adopted recommended budget's 171. The school committee's adopted 2018 budget is 166. The total expenditure increase is $5.2 million. That's 3.919% of the total operating budget. As we already spoke about, we could have struggled with that, we could have negotiated that and possibly closed the gap. The 5.2 gets very close to the 5.1. In essence, it's turning out to be the staff cost increases that we've got embedded in the budget. The sad part is revenue, 2%. I already talked about it. The state believes the community has the ability to pay further, thus they are reducing their contribution to the city of Warwick by $782,000. Our declining enrollment, about $844,000. It's about 175 students. Here's another unique twist on things. The state has a free and reduced bump on funding formula. So if you have a student that's free or reduced, they will give you $4,000. Of course, we'll receive 40% of that, so we would get $1,600. Our free and reduced numbers are going down, which is another reflection of the economics of our community from the state's perspective. In order to make this year's budget balance, prior year surplus of $1.2 million was allocated and is being utilized. Half of that was for committed projects that's under our building improvements, and the balance of that was to go against, we did not make breakage in our November numbers. You're familiar with breakage? Breakage is for positions that we are laying off and not filling, and breakage equals those staff members that are retiring and we're expecting on hiring less senior people to fill their spots. Right now I'm budgeting the higher position because I'm not sure who's retiring and we're expecting so many retirements that would generate a savings salary-wise. We are not calculating any additional layoffs in this budget because we've already trimmed them out. As I had mentioned early on, we changed our practice. We know what our student cost loads are. We know what our needs are for instruction, and we've planned accordingly. So taking the loss of revenue and adding them to the 3.19% increase in total expenses, we need $8.145 million of additional revenue to present a balanced budget to the school committee. We do realize that this $8.1 million versus the $122 million currently appropriated to the school department represents a 6.65% increase in support to the schools from the community. We believe we've done the best that we can at this point without sacrificing building improvements in other areas with regards to funding our schools. Last slide, please. We have a pie chart for this evening's for discussion purposes. Out of $171 million in the recommended budget, $99 million is for salaries alone. $38 million is for the fringe benefits associated with those positions. That totals $138.4 million, approximately 81% of the total budget. The balance, $33 million, makes up all the various components that you can see, and the lion's share of those costs has to do with transportation, tuition out of district, and insurance. Everything else is in the million to $2 million to $3 million range, other than supplies and materials of $5 million. And supplies and materials includes things like natural gas to heat our buildings, electricity, and water. Those are considered consumable supplies. So what we struggle with, and I think you can all appreciate what will happen, because we do want to work with you, and we will go back and huddle as best we can, but here's our struggle. We've already have in excess of 40 positions laid off out of the proposed current budget. And you've heard folks chirping about those impacts. And I do feel for those folks that are being financially impacted. If we get level funded, just in round numbers, if 80% is salaries and fringe, in order for this budget to even get close, we'd have to have another 80% reduction in salaries and fringe. We're staring at another $6 million and salaries. Have no clue where that can come from. None. You're talking another 60 positions to get even close to that number. If we're looking at the balance of that $8 million coming out of our other non-staffing, represent about $1.5 million, then there are debatable items in there. You've heard the conversation about the whole issue about debt service. You heard about the issue with tuitions. You've heard about the desire to do building improvements.
We do have before RIDE a $45 million housing aid application that's been approved. Within that 45, $5 million is out of capital reserve. There's $1 million for building improvements in this proposed budget. We will do things in the district to sustain what we've been undertaking over the past year and a half. It's poised to be reimbursed the following year, 40% of $1 million, we'd get $400,000 back. If I roll back on the building improvements, we don't do that work, I don't get the housing aid in 2020. The buildings don't get fixed the way we are demanding them to be fixed, and people will then be accusing us of not properly maintaining the buildings. So we understand your situation. I hope you understand the box in the situation, what we're trying to do. We all want to achieve the same things you folks do, which is to have a school department that's the best in the state, that we all can be proud of, and say we got through the darkest hours, and now we're moving forward into the light. You have all the detail. Happy to answer questions. But that's, in a nutshell, I think what we've all heard over the last month, month and a half as to where we're going. Thank you for your time.
Thank you for your presentation. I know that I had asked in the beginning, Mr. Thornton, if you could give us some insight as to where you thought, considering that we can't raise it under taxes, where you thought we should be, or where we could be with the school department budget, knowing that we can't possibly raise it if we gave a maximum tax increase.
Honestly, I think right now it is the 8.1 million, honestly.
8.1. That's helpful. Okay. So why don't we open it up and...
Mr. President.
Yes. Councilman Gallucci.
I'm just going to comment on some generalities and comparisons, and then I'm sure others will get down to specifics. Where your budget has indicated 8.145213, which would be 6.65% increase. And as I say, I'm going to mirror your comments, Mr. Ferrucci. Tax rate increase approximately, just based on those numbers, would be 80 cents, just on that end of it, okay? Total budget for city and schools, 310 mil. And as you indicated, 170 mil round numbers again for the schools, which would be 52-53%. You're at 52.4 right now. We have to at least look at some of the revenue reductions that you've indicated. 2% reimbursement rate reduction from the state, 782,000. 844,000 because of declining enrollment. Now, there would be questions, I'm sure, from others relative to declining enrollment. And what I've come up with, again, briefly, some 25 years ago, this is where the history comes in, the salary and wages and fringes, as we call them, were approximately 92.5%. Today, you're at 80.7%. Round numbers again. Okay. Now, some would question, and I did research on this so that we could at least have the information, where, again, several years ago, our student population was 20,000. Now you're about 8,500. Our teachers were 1,100. And now we're about 900. So let's not misinterpret the number of teachers required. That means that we added on and added on and added on. We added on because of federal and state mandates is why, you know, number of teachers are what you have today, not because of the increase that the school department showed. So overall, I'm saying life is a series of compromises. And I think we went through that with the request for the bond issue for the budget, and there was a general compromise among many of us that it should ask for the 40 mil rather than the 80 mil. All I'm saying is, just given an overview of what you've presented versus what others will ask in specifics, generally you've shown a responsible budget based on conditions. And as I indicated prior to the information that was provided to us before, and I don't want to go backwards, I want to go forward, as far as where your expenditures were planned for, let's say, upgrades and repairs, I never saw anything like it in my history on the council. So those are my comments, and I'm sure others will get into specific expenditures, and you can question them, and I can question you accordingly. Thank you very much, Mr. President.
Councilman McAllister.
Thank you. I have a few questions on the transportation light items. We have transportation increase of $245,000, and then there's also transportation increase of $900,000 for consolidating the elementary schools, moving the sixth graders to the middle school. So, you know, when I went to Cedar Hill, I was a walker, and then when I went to Windman, I took the bus. So I understand the increase on that, but we're also busing less students to the elementary school. So can you just break down kind of how we got to that $900,000 figure with moving the sixth graders?
In order to move the number of walkers, we do have three elementary schools closing. So those K through five students have to be transported to an elementary school. Concurrently, those sixth graders have to get to the middle school. So we're needing to add a number of buses in order to make that puzzle fit. Right now, the transportation manager has projected an increase of 10 regular ed buses and two more special ed buses for a total of 12 buses. Our average cost with fuel and the drivers and monitors on the special ed run around $82,000, so 85. And of course, we all know what's happening with diesel fuel. So round numbers, we budgeted 90,000.
So with the 12 additional new buses, now we don't own the buses, correct?
That's correct.
So these would be new actual,
yes,
that are on the roads right now in Warwick.
That's correct.
Those coming also. Okay. And what is the contractual increases, that line item, 245? What's that entail? That
when we had gone out to bid, there was a caveat that their annual, because we did a five-year contract, that their annual costs go up by 2% predominantly for taking care of either maintenance cost increases and staff cost increases. So they've contracted it. We pay a daily rate of $375 a day for a bus and a driver. Next year it's 2% higher. So that 2% represents the contractual commitment.
Okay, and that's why that's different than,
yes,
the thing. And then the another question I have is with the consolidation of WICs, I know a number of students, I believe around 50, are going to Greenwood. I believe we've all been getting emails this evening regarding that.
I'd have
Dr.
to defer
Thorne.
To Super.
Right now, next year, we're going to have 13 elementary schools with 181 classrooms K to 5. Those numbers can change and do change on a weekly basis, and we forecast enrollments. The budget we lock in the spring represents what we have in numbers at that point. Let's say Greenwood has a grade 3 with, say, 22 and 24 in a room. It's getting close to that edge, if you will. We watch those closely. Right now we have around 3 to 5 classrooms we're watching across the district, and Greenwood has a couple of them. We may, if numbers keep going up, add a section or a teacher to that. You wouldn't do that now. That's premature. If you add something now, you own that position for the year. So you have to really watch the numbers. Sometimes folks move away, folks move in. So what you'll see is we'll keep forecasting for the school committee. June 12th, our next meeting, we'll give them updates on the enrollment. If something does pop to a point where we say we have 28 and 28 at Greenwood, let's say it's grade 4, we'd recommend to the school committee a new teacher
not in the original budget, added to that, that classroom. So that's something we look at and we do. It's just not done at this point in the year in May. It's more of a June, July conversation once numbers come in.
So those decisions have not been made that that we're not going to add additional students to the kindergarten, yeah, the second, fourth, and fifth grade, and only the fourth grade, right, would be getting the additional teacher?
We would add as numbers present themselves in the summer. If they're solid numbers and they're still there in the summer, we absolutely look at it. So we have to be mindful of the numbers. Once again, these numbers are volatile. They can move each week, moving in, moving out. We have to see what actually happens as we get closer to the start of the year. But you'll see on the school board agenda that discussion in June. And if something does pop, if you will, we'll be adding in July, probably have an August job fair and have those advertised then.
So no final decisions is made at this time for
at this
on
point,
the number, because it's...
We budgeted for 181 classrooms in our 13 elementary schools based on the numbers forecast at that point in time in the spring.
Okay. Because physical space, you'll now have this, what was in the sixth graders are no longer there, so yeah, there'll be physical space if you need to add...
Physical space is there.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. President.
Councilman Ricks.
Superintendent, earlier this evening, you presented the $8,145,213 after hearing from the council president that the most by state law that this council could possibly allocate is $6.3 million. We then asked, what can we do here? What can we do to make sure that we're providing an excellent education to the students while not having to attempt to raise taxes to a degree that we're prohibited by? We're not hiding the ball here. We're telling you, and the math is very simple, that taxes could only possibly be raised by up to $6.3 million. And that's assuming that not one additional penny is going into any of the other city departments of any of those additional funds raised. And then when you hear the facts and the presentation and are asked, what can we go down to? You say $8.1 million. I'm not entirely sure if that's a $45,000 concession or not, but either way, it's just disconcerting to see a lack of ability to compromise here when I do see areas where we can come down from that $8.1 million. Now, in addition to that, I have to wonder, is there some way that we can be more creative with this budget? We have still a lot of additional space, including in the new administrative building in Gorton. There have to be some options. There have to be some ways to consolidate that use of space where currently administrators, I understand that some of them are using entire classrooms as offices or sharing it between two in classrooms that used to hold over two dozen students and a teacher. So on the administrative side, there seem to be some excesses, to put it lightly. Perhaps there are some more traditional ways to save. Perhaps there are more some more creative ways to save. I wonder if there's ways that we can use the additional space in some of these school buildings, especially buildings such as the administrative building, to help raise money. Perhaps, I raised this at a school committee meeting a bit over a year ago, some sort of public-private collaborative where additional space could be rented out to businesses and to generate rental income. Especially in an administrative building where students are not generally present, that could generate significant amounts of money in this very trying time. So I'm open to ideas. How can we build a bridge here and come together and best use the money that we have to give the students of Warwick an excellent education? Because I just do not see any way possible that we can raise this $8.1 million that's in this budget. Superintendent, any ideas? If I
look for the question, couple quick thoughts. First, while I do speak for the school committee tonight, it's really the school committee's budget. It wouldn't be my place to negotiate tonight this a different number than 8.1 million. But certainly happy to talk to you with the school committee. Second, in terms of I think the budget ask, it is large. But to my comments earlier, this has been a long time coming since 2010. So this is like year after year compounding to this point. Third thing I'm thinking of is certainly to your point of real estate, I would certainly think we could probably do a better job as a city trying to sell our assets. Aldrich, the Admin Building vacated this fall, hopefully, if all goes as planned, I'll give you back the building of Wicks in September, followed by Holden. Certainly we have some assets that the city possibly could sell for revenue.
Council President, if I may?
Yes.
Superintendent, you brought up selling of assets. Selling of assets is a one-time deal, and your argument here is structural. We're not going to solve structural problems by selling real estate, because that real estate can't be sold twice. And the first school you named was Aldrich. Aldrich is in Ward 2, where I represent many people who live next to that school, many people who attended that school growing up, as I did. That school, that building, has now sat vacant for almost 2 years. We had exactly one offer on that school when we put it out to bid, and I've spoken with developers who have toured that building and told me why they did not put in a bid on that building, because the only use of that building that makes economic sense to them is as a school. It has massively thick walls. It was constructed over 80 years ago. It has asbestos. There are all sorts of different issues with it. Nobody is willing, aside from a school, specifically the International Charter School, to put in a bid on that building. And so for you to say that we should sell that real estate to fix our problems, first, a one-time sale does not fix structural problems, so that's misleading. And second, I believe that the school committee drafted a resolution and passed that resolution opposing the sale of Aldrich to the one entity that bid on it. So I find it a bit disingenuous to say that selling the school, selling these properties, is going to be the solution to the problems here tonight. And I welcome other ideas. Thank you.
Councilwoman Travis.
I don't know if maybe Mr. Ferrucci that will probably answer some of these questions. First of all, the layoffs you have, how many were they? I know there's over 70.
There are 72 notices that went out.
72 notices went out.
That's correct.
I also hear that there's like 100 displacements of moving these teachers around all over. And what's that do from the consolidation? How many actually are you talking about moving without actually, I don't think it's on their will. It must be ordered to do.
I would have to defer to our human resource director for that level of information. Ms. Duncanson?
I'd be happy to answer that. So what those involuntary transfer notices, which I think is what you're referring to, are, is that the consolidation of elementary schools as well as the movement of the sixth grade teachers up to the new middle schools, those involve a lot of movement within the district, as well as the normal annual movements due to scheduling staffing requirements that is done on an annual basis. So the closing of the three schools, the movement of sixth grade teachers or by seniority other teachers out of buildings up to the middle schools requires that number.
And how's that going to leave our elementary schools? Now, I'm hearing maybe there's not going to be guidance counselors. I did say nurses will be in every elementary school.
So currently the staffing plan is to have one-to-one nurses. So each elementary school will have a nurse. The secondary schools already have a nurse staffed at each of them. And the guidance counselors were reduced last year to 1.5 district-wide. And the plan is to move the guidance counselors to the middle schools. And I believe that the veterans and Winman have absorbed those individuals.
So how many guidance counselors we got now in the city?
I don't have that exact number, but it is...
A time when we have so many problems going on problems with the kids in the schools and what's going on in our nation. I think we need more guidance counselors.
We have...
And I agree with Councilman Ricks. I don't know how you expect us to come up with a number that's just going to be for the schools. I think maybe you got to go back to the blackboard and do some more corrections. And I don't think it should be on the back of the teachers or guidance counselors or any of those people. So many times you come to this, and you've been here many times, 7 years, like you said. One time it's, we're not going to get sports. Another time we're not going to get music. Another time the ABLAC's getting taken away from us. Now I'm hearing we might not have science teachers in the elementary schools. That's crazy, not having science in elementary. This is where they stop their education, in elementary school. I mean, when I see the budget, I get very aggravated. But then when I hear this talk about it, it makes it even worse. If you want more money than we can actually raise, and that's not counting any other departments, just the school department, and then when I try to digest it, and I look at Gorton, who's got an overdue that even the ladies' bathrooms look better than some of the hotels, that money went into those bathrooms, should have went to our kids in our education for those kids. I think you wasted money. That's the problem where we are now. Wasted money. Where I don't think you did your homework when you were supposed to be doing this. So I'm really upset. The only other question, I got a lot of questions, but it says that you got an added kindergarten class. Where's that new kindergarten class going?
That additional classroom was at Wyman.
Wyman?
Yeah. Okay.
I'll leave it for some of my other people, Mr. President.
Thank you, Councilman Howe.
Thank you, Mr. President. I said it before, I'm going to say it again. I just want to clarify to the audience, to the administration, Mr. President, and my colleagues. I'm a firm believer in the Finance Committee meetings we had. I was asking why executives were getting, or managers or directors were getting such high salaries, and I still believe... And there are direct front line and there's non-direct. We need non-direct, but we absolutely need direct. And that would be the teachers, they're the front line. What I want to ask the superintendent and Mr. Ferrucci is, we have a Department of Education, okay, federal, that dictates down to the Rhode Island Department of Education, RIDE, state, that dictates down to the municipalities. But yet, I look at the... administrative side, and we have a lot of directors with a lot of titles. And this kind of goes in hand with what Councilman Rick said absolutely goes in hand with what Councilwoman Travis said. And this is something that I think every day is frustrating. We can look at it, and there's no doubt education is expensive. But a lot of these policies are dictated, presented, created, put down from federal to state. So there's already a lot of executives getting paid to do this. And I'm looking at this, so I want to ask you quickly. I'm looking at three positions right here. Chief Superintendent, Chief Academic Officer, Director of Assessment Instruction Curriculum, Coordinator of Teacher and Learning. Can you please explain, by the way, those salaries alone for those three positions are over $350,000 just salaries. So can you explain to me what those positions would be responsible for, and if you need me to repeat them, I'll be happy to.
Sure, the first one, Chief Academic Officer. In many districts, it's called Assistant Superintendent, if you will. That would be all things teaching and learning, K-12, all the schools. In some larger districts, it's called a CAO, just a different term of art, if you will, so Assistant Superintendent or CAO. The second job you mentioned was Curriculum Director, I believe.
Director of Assessment and, Director of Assessment Instruction Curriculum.
Right. Essentially, once again, in that same department, all things teaching and learning, who's teaching what to who, all the assessments that are going on, all the instruction.
And then the final one is Coordinator of Teacher and Learning.
That is under the Curriculum Director, working primarily right now, I believe, in math and science.
That position is under the curriculum. All right, so how many assistant superintendents do you have, Superintendent?
We have one CAO. What happened was, around a year and a half ago, we actually, the school committee hired a consultant to go out and look to right-size the admin, if you will, and see for look at other models around the country. And they did that, and they came back with this model. In the older model, there was a superintendent who had nine people reporting to him, and that really was a dysfunctional kind of siloed model, staffing model. So in the new model, they have myself with three reports to me, Mr. Ferrucci, Finance, Ms. Dunkinson, who you just saw, the HR, and the CAO. So those three report to me. And then from there it goes down.
So the CAO would be the coordinator, Chief Academic Officer.
Correct.
So therefore, the coordinator of teaching and learning, as well as the chief act, you said the same thing, everything to do with teaching and everything to do with academics, from kindergarten to high school.
Right. To put it in perspective, I guess I would say this. We have next year 13 elementary schools, we have two middles, we have two high schools, the Career and Tech Center. One person alone is not going to move the curriculum teaching and learning ball, if you will. You need multiple hands to get the job done, and that's what we're doing.